is insert sermon title here. If you were here last week, you can tell that I'm now on a hunt to make everybody think that Debbie makes typos in the bulletin. But it's not, in fact, a typo. That is the title. This was a phrase that was sitting at the top of my sermon notes as I was trying to prepare what I wanted to say in this message. And it sat there, and I was like, oh, I'll get to this later. But then it turns out that this title ended up being perfect for what I wanted to call this sermon. Because today we're going to be talking about procrastination. Clever, right? So I think that there's a lot we can learn about procrastination in an everyday sense, but I think that there's also profound spiritual applications to be made with this subject. And I tell you, I sifted through a lot of ideas with this topic. Out of all of the messages that I've worked to prepare in the past year, this was the hardest one to get started on, and I tell you, I get it, the irony is thick there. But eventually I decided, okay, well, let's just start with something basic. So what is procrastination? Well, the dictionary defines procrastination as putting off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. Okay? I found some other definitions online that I liked even more. This one is from Napoleon Hill. The bad habit of putting off until the day after tomorrow what should have been done the day before yesterday. Or this one from Twitter I like even more. The ability to do 30 minutes of work in 8 hours and 8 hours of work in 30 minutes. Preach, Pastor, preach. And perhaps most succinctly, do later, do later. So by a show of hands, how many of you think that you struggle with procrastination? Oh yes, I have an amen choir right here for me. So you're not alone. Statistics show that 20 to 30% of the U.S. population struggles with chronic procrastination. And for the high schoolers here, apparently, statistics show that among high school and college age students, that percentage grows to 85 to 90%. That is insane. Is that even possible? I mean, I know that I added to those statistics when I was in school. But why is this? Why do people, especially younger people like us, why do we procrastinate? Well, I tried to read up on a bunch of science-y things to get some answers. Some suggested that people procrastinate out of fear of failure. Other studies suggested that, well, there's just too many distractions in today's media age. And still another study suggested that it's because some people enjoy the rush of working under tight deadlines. False. All of these might be true in some situations, but I don't think that that is always the case. There was one study that I read in Psychology Today that suggested it comes down to an issue of what we value. This is what they said. The decision to work on something is driven by how much we value accomplishing the project in that moment. Procrastination, in psychological terms, is what happens when the value of doing something else outweighs the value of working now. Basically, whatever we use to procrastinate with is of more value to us than what we ought to be doing. Well, this is a better answer, but I still don't think that this is a great diagnosis. Let me give you a scenario to help prove this. Students, you should be able to relate to this. Let's say you're working on a paper, okay? So you've been given an essay prompt, and you have to write a 1,000-word paper on the topic that you were given. And now it's due tomorrow. So you sit down at your computer, and you have 95 words done so far. Now, to be fair, those 95 words are comprised of your name, the date, the entire essay prompt written at the bottom, and the word the. But it's 95 words, nevertheless. So you sit down, and you're ready to get started. You have the word the at the top of your screen. Good start. The story we read in class was funny. You take a drink of water to hydrate after that. The story we read in class was funny. That's lame. Oh, what's a better word for funny? You go online. Synonyms for funny. You scroll through the list of words until you find the word that's the biggest so you can impress your teacher, right? So you look at the list and there's facetious. Oh, facetious, that's a good word. I don't really know what it means. Let's look it up. Open a new tab. F-A-C. But it auto-completes to Facebook and all of a sudden you're on Facebook. Now, I know that for you high school students, Facebook is so 2015 and only your mom uses it, but work with me. So you're on Facebook and you start to retype facetious, but then you realize that there's this little red notification at the top. And, oh, you shouldn't click it. You should just go back to your schoolwork. That's what you should be. You shouldn't click it. It's probably just a notification that it's somebody's birthday today, but you click on it. And it's a post that somebody had liked of yours. And you click on that and it shows you a picture of you at the lake from last summer. Oh, that was so nice. It was so hot then. I wonder what the weather's going to be like this week. You open a new tab, weather for Kirkland. You look at the forecast and it's rain, 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 rain. Now you're thinking of storms. Suddenly you Google list of natural disasters in 2017. Fires, floods, blizzards, blizzards. Now you're Googling Dairy Queen coupons. About 2 hours later, you've been watching cat videos for 40 minutes. You don't even know how you got here, but it was a very dark journey. Am I speaking anyone's life experience here today? Yes, we procrastinate. Psychology Today would argue that it's a matter of valuing something else over the task at hand. But that might be true in some situations. But I think that this example of writing an essay shows that we will sometimes do anything to avoid doing what we should be doing, even if we're getting nothing out of it. During Bible study this week, Richard pointed out something that a friend of his told him about procrastination. I really liked it, so let me share it with you. His friend said that there's no such thing as procrastination. It's just a lack of motivation. Now, I think that is a lot closer to the truth. It's not that we value cat videos over the homework that we actually need to be doing. It's that we aren't motivated to do our homework, and therefore we will jump on any hamster wheel and just start running. Now, this is church. So I'm not really talking about procrastinating on school or work projects, am I? Don't get me wrong. The way that we handle or spend the time on everyday work matters. The Bible says that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for who? The Lord and not for men. So clearly, the way that we spend our time on everyday work has a spiritual component to it as well. But what I want to talk about today is not everyday procrastination, but spiritual procrastination. Putting off what God has called you to do until later. Putting off changes that need to be made in your life until later. Putting off a decision to follow Jesus with all your heart until later. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to what is probably your favorite book of the Bible. That's the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1 is where we are going to be looking today. It's towards the end of the New Testament. And while you turn there, let me give you a little bit of background on this book. The Jewish people had been in captivity for about 70 years when Cyrus decreed that they could go home to Jerusalem and start to rebuild their city that had been destroyed. So the people in 538 BC go back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding the walls. That's what we read about in Ezra and Nehemiah. Well, they stop short of completing the work. They don't finish building God's temple because they met with opposition from other people in the area. Well, Haggai comes onto the scene after years of inactivity from God's people. It's been about 15 years of not working on building God's temple, and things aren't going too well for God's people. So Haggai wants to get their priorities straight. Haggai chapter 1. And verse 1 says that the word of the Lord came to Haggai. So we're going to start in verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. The time has not yet come. Does that sound a little bit like procrastination? We'd love to build the temple, God, but it's just not time yet. So God says this. Then a word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Oh, God's calling them out. He says, oh, so you have time to do your work, but you're too busy to do my work. Well, how's that working for you? He keeps going. This is where it gets interesting. Verse 5. Oh, the anticipation is building to a max. There we go. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes on it. Wow. Okay, look at this list for a second. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your... Have you ever thought to yourself, how could I put so much into something only to get so little out of it? How could I put so much into this relationship only to get nothing out of it? How could I put so much into this project for work or school and yet it never really works out? How could I put so much into raising my kids and yet they still disrespect me? How could I fish all night and catch nothing? That was Peter, right? All night long, he cast his net, doesn't catch a thing. Then in the morning, Jesus shows up. Jesus tells him to cast his net where? The other side of the boat. And when he does that, he has more fish in his net than can be held in his boat even. Why? Because God is the one who brings the harvest. And God brings the harvest when we put him first. When we prioritize his will for our lives and we don't procrastinate, he makes our efforts fruitful. Let me keep reading in this chapter. It'll make this point even better. Verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. Here's the interesting part. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all of the labor of your hands. Okay, you catch what God just said, right? He said, you're wondering why all of your work and all of your reaping isn't fruitful? It's because of me. Going back to this verse, what you brought home, I blew away. Why? Because my house is a ruin while you're busy working on your own. You went to work on your own projects and you procrastinated on mine. So hear me on this. I believe that God, in 520 BC, was responsible for bringing harvest to his people. And I also believe that God, in 2018 AD, is responsible for bringing harvest to his people. We sometimes feel like we aren't reaping enough in life. We feel like verse 6, you planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but you are not warm, and so on. Why? Is it possible? And understand that I know that there are circumstances and exceptions to this, but is it possible that it's maybe because we have procrastinated on God's will in our lives? I think so, yes. God tells us to do something, and maybe we don't really want to do it, so we busy ourselves with other things. We want to spend time with God each and every day, but our schedule is just way too packed with other things that have to get done first. We want to do what God wants, but other things come first. But that's not God's desire. Jesus says what? Seek ye eventually the kingdom of God. No, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. And all these things shall what? Be added unto you. You seek God first, he'll bring the harvest. He'll bring the harvest. So procrastination, to me, is a little bit like a snooze button. We hear the alarm, but we want to sleep a little bit longer, so we just hit snooze. I know that for me personally, I set about 8 alarms every single morning. And sadly, that's not even a joke. I do. It's because I just keep turning them off. I hear them go off, and I think in my head, oh, I I'll get up, just not right now. And then I go back to sleep. Well, procrastination is the same way. I'll do that project, just not right now. I'll make that change, just not right now. So in the last bit of time, let me suggest to you three general areas where we hit snooze on God, where we procrastinate spiritually. And I want to do this in kind of a general order of what a relationship with Jesus would follow. So, number one, procrastinating on what God wants to start in you. What God wants to start in you. The first thing God wants to do is He wants to come into your life. And sadly, many people procrastinate on choosing to follow Him. They hear the invitation of Jesus, they're moved in their hearts, but they respond with, not now. Or they commit, but only halfway. I love what the reformer Martin Luther has to say on this. He said, quote, "How soon, not now, becomes never." The Apostle Paul talks about his own conversion experience in the book of Acts. Paul used to be Saul. He persecuted Christians of the early church. And then Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, and it blinds him. Then a man named Ananias, who's a man of the Lord, comes to see Saul, and he restores his sight. And Ananias tells Saul that God has plans for his life. God wants to turn his life around. God wants to start something in him. And then Ananias says this, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." I think that there are many people today, perhaps even some here right now, who have felt God move in their life, who have seen him leading them to a decision, but they don't actually invite him in. They just say, "Well, not yet, God. I'm interested, but let me get my life in order first. I'd love to, God, but I just have way too much going on right now. I'll be committed later, I promise, but just let me have fun in college first." If you believe that God is worth it, and he is, what are you waiting for? Don't put off what God wants to start in you. Now, there are many more people in this room who have already accepted Jesus into their lives. But then what happens is that there is this big struggle over the changes that God wants to make in your life. And that leads to the second thing that many of us procrastinate on, that many of us hit snooze on, what God wants to take out of you. What God wants to take out of you. There are things in our lives that are sinful or distracting that God wants to remove, but we cling to them stubbornly. We might even know that they're wrong and that they need to go from our lives, but just not yet. It's like the alarm clock, right? When the alarm goes off, we know that we need to get up. We'll get up, just not right now. The same is true of sin. What's the big deal? I'll deal with that sin eventually. I'll get rid of it. I'll pray about it more, just not right now. Well, let me share with you a passage from Steps to Christ that speaks powerfully to this thought. It's from the chapter on redemption. And the whole chapter is fire, but let me just share a piece to you. "Beware of procrastination. Do not put off the work of forsaking your sins and seeking purity of heart through Jesus. Here is where thousands upon thousands have erred to their eternal loss. What we do not overcome will overcome us and work out our destruction. Many are quieting a troubled conscience with the thought that they can change a course of evil when they choose, that they can trifle with the invitations of mercy and yet be again and again impressed. But this is not so easily done. The experience, the education of a lifetime has so thoroughly molded the character that few then desire to receive the image of Jesus." That is powerful. Sin is serious. The damage can be long-lasting if we procrastinate on it. Now, that's not to say that removing sinful habits from our life is easy. It's not. But it's possible. With God, it's possible. And God wants to help us to take the things out of our lives that are only going to cause us harm and leave us feeling empty. We procrastinate on what God wants to start in us, what God wants to take out of us, and finally, what God wants to do through us. You see, God doesn't want to just change you. He wants to use you as well. God might call you to do something, something that is maybe outside of your comfort zone, and He wants us to follow His leading right away. But sometimes we tell God to wait. You want me to do what, God? Oh, well, I'll think about it. Or, I'll do what you want, but not right now. Give me a little bit of time. And we can procrastinate on God's calling in a number of different ways. I mean, there's the extreme example of Jonah, right? God calls him to go to Nineveh, and where does he go? The opposite direction. As far as he can go in the opposite direction. And while that is one way to delay the calling of God, I think that we are a lot sneakier with our procrastination spiritually. You see, when we tell God not yet, I think we like to cloak it in a lot of spiritual sounding language. I'll give you one of my favorites. I'll pray about it. I'm praying about it. That's more like Gideon, right? God comes to Gideon, tells him to do something that he doesn't want to do. So Gideon says, let me pray about it. God, would you give me a sign? God's patient. God gives him a sign. Well, Gideon still doesn't want to do it, so I'll pray about it. God, give me another sign. And we find ourselves in this cycle as well. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for being sure that God is the one speaking. But, you know, sometimes we know that God's the one speaking, and we're just trying to stall for time. So the point being this. I don't know what God might be calling you to do. But I feel pretty confident that there are at least some people in this room who know deep down that God is leading you somewhere. Are you procrastinating on that call? Are you busy with other things? Like with Haggai, are you busy building your own house or are you building God's house? And I really hope that what I've said today doesn't come across in any way as condescending. Paul talks about how he's the chief of sinners, right? And I feel like I am the chief of procrastinators. And not just with everyday work-related, school-related things, with spiritual things as well. I mean, I am not Peter. I am not hopping out of the boat when Jesus tells me to come walk on water impulsively. I'm a lot more like Moses at the burning bush. When God tells me to come and do something, I give off as many excuses as I can possibly come up with why I'm not the person for that. So this topic is as much a call for me as it is for you. So let me leave you with this. As you look at these levels here on the screen, are you stuck here at one of these? What God wants to start in you? Are you procrastinating on making a decision for Jesus? And if you are, like Ananias told Saul, what are you waiting for? Or maybe it's the second one, what God wants to take out of you. Is there something in your life that you know needs to go? Are you clinging stubbornly to something that God wants to remove? And if so, are you going to take action? Or maybe it's the last one, what God wants to do through you. Have you hit snooze on God's calling? Is there work to be done? Do you need to adjust your schedule, make changes, reorder your priorities in order to make that happen? Where are you procrastinating spiritually? What are the ways that you are telling God, not yet? I'll leave you with that quote from Martin Luther again. How soon, not yet, becomes never. Father God, I pray that as we leave this place this morning, that the song of our heart is, "Here I am, Lord. I will go, Lord." We pray this in your name. Amen.